Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
I want to welcome you to the Undivided Podcast. This is Chris Crane from the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. Thank you so much for listening today. I have a very special guest with me here at the podcast studio today. This is Dr. Cecilia Walker, who is the Executive Director of Chaplaincy and CPE through Brookwood Baptist Health. And it's such an honor to have you, Dr. Walker. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. And you?
I am great. And it's great to talk to someone who is an essential worker, especially during this very difficult time with COVID. And it's continuing on. This podcast is being recorded in 2022. This is our first podcast of the year. And Dr. Walker, you're responsible for a lot of chaplains in at least five hospital settings. How are our chaplains doing?
They are doing the best that they can. It has been a really challenging 2 years. And someone coined the phrase spiritual first responders. And often chaplains are not thought of in the long list of people that are lifted up, but chaplains are on the front lines. And but every chaplain that I work with and those that are in other hospitals even are so grateful for the opportunity to serve and to be present and to, in many cases, when families can't come in and be with their loved ones, when pastors can't come in and see their congregants, the chaplain is there in the gap. And we are so grateful for that opportunity to serve in that way.
And we are thankful. And I know that all of our listeners and those who serve in local churches and members of our churches are thankful for the ministry you provide. As you say, when we can't be there, you're there. And that's such a comforting fact. So Dr. Walker, we do want to understand more of what you do and how our chaplains are making an impact in the kingdom work across the city of Birmingham, even around the world. So give us a behind the scenes look at what it's like to be an executive director of chaplaincy. I know there are many facets to your job, but could you help the layperson understand what you do?
Yes. One of the things that's important to me is that we gather across our system in our individual departments at the beginning of every day and spend time reviewing those persons that we've encountered the day before, the families and the patients. We go, and it's at Princeton, it can be a long list, but we go through each person and we pray for each person and we pray for each family and we talk about the encounter that we had. And then we're able to network with each other about follow-up and taking care of those patients. So the day starts with us praying for our patients, families, and for our staff. And praying for the team. And so even concerns that nurses or doctors might have lifted up or something that we observed, we pray about those things. And things that happen in our community and throughout the world, we spend that time getting centered ourselves. And then as the day goes, we are tasked to try to see every person that is coming to our hospital. So we start with our new admissions and we go to our floors and visit the patients that were newly admitted and their family members, if there are any family members allowed to be in the hospital. We go to all of our peripheral departments and check in with people. So whether it's EVS or pharmacy, any of our departments, the chaplains are going throughout the hospital checking on the staff, because just because we work in a hospital does not mean that we're immune to what's going on. And so it's just important that our hospitals are inundated with the presence of chaplains, and so that people can even see us in the hall. And if we notice that there is something off kilter, we can stop right there, check in with them, maybe direct them or have prayer with them. And so that's really our focus, is to just be a presence and to find out what's needed and try to offer some support and some care. Each of the chaplains are assigned to a particular area, and that is called their parish. And so they are tasked with knowing the staff by name and knowing the doctors who service there, the social workers, and knowing something about their families and asking about their children, just like you would in a church. And throughout our hospital system, that is what the chaplain is doing. And then the visitors are our patients. And so then to just like we would be at a church, reaching out to those visitors, making sure that their needs are being met. We ask that question, are your needs and preferences being attended to? And if they say yes, then, you know, we're great about that. But if they say no, then we ask them, you know, well, what could we do to help with that? And what are your concerns? And we'll reach out to whoever we need to on our team to make sure that they can have the best possible experience considering the circumstances.
As I listen to what you said, Dr. Walker, what an amazing environment it must be to work where there are chaplains who help the culture of the hospital, who help the whole healthcare system work together in not only the physical aspect, but the spiritual and the emotional aspect of a good environment of healing. And so thank you for what you do. I think some of our listeners may be surprised at how much chaplains are involved, not only with patients, that's the side that we see, but also with the employees, including the professionals who work in the healthcare system. So I wonder, I think about chaplains as being that prayer group, and I know that often people in the hospital and their families and loved ones, they need more than prayer. So what do you offer to families besides coming in and praying before surgeries and during recovery times? What else do chaplains do to support families?
We join with people where they are and sort of ask them and do spiritual assessment to find out what their particular needs are. In this COVID environment, a lot of people want to be connected with their families. Like if one or two people are able to visit, then the rest of the family might not be able to know what's going on or see it. So we started using iPads to connect with those families. And so they're able to have, we will be with them, we'll schedule the time, and they can just have a general conversation with their loved ones and just talk. And of course, we will offer support or prayer or whatever, but we don't mind just being present in the room and making that happen so that they can connect with their loved ones. Doctors and nurses have to come in and do what they have to do and get to the next patient, but chaplains can stay. And so sometimes patients have anxiety and are nervous, and we can stay with them and be present with them and just let them be honest about where they are, about their fears, and talk about their families, talk about things that give them meaning, what's helping them to cope in that situation. And now also there are families who can't, especially when we first started in COVID, they couldn't come in even during the surgeries. They would be out in the parking lot. But we could go and sit, and we would physically sit in the waiting areas or where the operation was being held and wait for the doctor to come and transfer that information or use the iPad for them to be able to immediately know what was happening. And so that they wouldn't feel like their loved one was alone, that somebody was there standing in the gap, sitting in the gap for them. So it's really based on what's needed. And sometimes we do crowd control, you know, when there's a trauma that comes into the hospital, the chaplain is always called for that situation. And we try to de-escalate because emotions are high and sometimes people act even out of character. And rather than having to call the Birmingham Police Department or security, if we can help with that and help people to vent and be where they are and calm them down enough so that they can stay and be present for their families. We do a lot of that as well.
Fantastic. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more from Dr. Walker, and she's going to share with us a little bit about the chaplaincy resident program and how that works, and we'll hear more about how God is using chaplaincy across Birmingham and beyond. So stay with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Undivided Podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association, featuring Dr. Chris Crane. The Undivided Podcast, bringing churches in Birmingham, Alabama together with the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission.
Well, thank you for being with us on the podcast today with Dr. Cecilia Walker. We've been talking about chaplaincy and the ministry that chaplains have across Birmingham and beyond, especially here in our Brookwood Baptist Health System. And so, Dr. Walker, you mentioned previously about how our chaplains are involved in all kinds of situations. They have to be ready at a moment's notice to do many different things, whatever the situation requires. So that would require a very well-trained person to do that kind of ministry. Not just anyone could be a chaplain. So tell me, what are the basic credentials of a chaplain? How are they trained? Do they have formal education? Is there education beyond that? And what is your role in that? So could you enlighten us a little bit on that, Dr. Walker?
Yes. First of all, I would like to say that our system has the oldest chaplain training program in the state of Alabama. And we have chaplains across the world that were trained in our center. It's about 62 years old, and Princeton Baptist Medical Center, where all of that started, is celebrating our 100th anniversary this year. And having said that, in order to become a professional chaplain, a person has to have an undergraduate degree from an accredited school, a Master of Divinity from an accredited school or its equivalent, and at least 4 units of clinical pastoral education. We're accredited to train interns, students, and residents at our system, and we also train educators, CPE educators. In order to be a professional chaplain, then, it's important for you to get all of those things so that the persons that you encounter, you're able to do spiritual assessments and join people where they are. It's not just a just coming in and praying and leaving. And to be able to be trained in our system is so important to us that even our Baptist health system, our Baptist foundation, deems it a part of our mission that we're sending out these trained chaplains. Most of the chaplains that we have at least the Master of Divinity. We have chaplains often who have a doctorate in ministry or a PhD. And they come and they spend a year in training so that they can prepare themselves to be professional chaplains. We also have interns who come. Now, those persons may or may not be intending to become a professional chaplain, but they want the training so that it can help them in their ministry, in their churches. Some persons are nurses or social workers. We've had a couple of doctors who wanted just that unit of CPE that helps them to be able to connect with people and offer that spiritual element to whatever it is that they're doing, because they consider their teaching or social work as ministry, and it only enhances that. So it's an exciting program. It's robust. I change my curriculum based upon the students that I have. So we don't do the same exact curriculum every year. Now, the goal is always to teach theological reflection and spiritual assessment, those same basics. But how I do it is dependent on who is there, what their experiences are, and is sort of tailor-made to each of my groups of students.
You know, some of our listeners, Dr. Walker, may have been surprised by what you've said, that among those professionals who work in a hospital setting, including doctors and all kinds of medical professionals and scientists, et cetera, chaplains are among them in regards to their formal education. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. And we're so grateful for what they do. It's a question that's crossed my mind is, how do chaplains, we live in an increasingly non-religious or people who are agnostic, people who have no religious affiliation or background, Recent studies show that the largest growing religious group in America today are the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, those with no religious affiliation. How do chaplains help those who don't have a Christian background in our hospitals? What does that look like?
And one of the first things that we do is when we go to visit a person, we acknowledge that we're the chaplain that's assigned to that area, and that we just came to offer an opportunity for spiritual or emotional support, that we're available to offer whatever it is that they need. And it sort of brings down the level of anxiety for persons who may not embrace Christianity or, like you said, just agnostic or not very spiritual. It also helps with Christians, because a lot of times Christians think that we need to perform. And if a minister has walked in the room, then I've got to act like I'm not scared, I'm okay with what's happening. So the training that we have just lets us join the person, and it brings down the anxiety about being with a religious type. And we found that people who are in the hospital in the midst of a crisis just want somebody who truly cares. So when we lead with our compassion and we lead with our care, and then we ask them, how can we be helpful, rather than just dispensing what we've already done or always done, asking them, how can I help you today? How could I offer you some support? What would be helpful?
That is so encouraging. The old adage is, you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only Bible some will ever read. And that's especially true for chaplains and increasingly, a world that is less involved in formal religion or organized religion. And I'm so thankful for that. And along with this question and discussion, what do you think about the future relevance of chaplains? Will they be relevant in the future? What does that look like as society continues to change? What does the chaplaincy role look like? How is that changing, Dr. Walker?
I think that it will continue to evolve and be relevant, because one of the things that is so important to me is that all of our chaplains who are clinical chaplains become board certified professional chaplains. And we continue to have required education. We can't keep doing the same things over and over again, and need to be understanding the pulse of the neighborhood, the community, the country, et cetera. So as long as we keep paying attention and keep asking the question, how can I serve? How can I help you? How can I join? And see each person as an individual. It's also one of the things I really love about chaplaincy is this really sort of one-on-one kind of ministry, one person at a time, one family at a time. And so as long as we're doing that, I think that we'll continue to be relevant. We're doing more and more research in pastoral care. A lot of times the research that has been done on religion and medicine has been done by physicians and nurses. And now we have ministers and chaplains who are also writing in those ways. So yes, I think we will continue to be relevant and needed.
I completely agree. And as a pastor in this city and working here in the community for many years now, I have relied on chaplains to support me as a pastor. And sometimes pastors walk in and they're overwhelmed. Tell me how you've seen chaplains, maybe even yourself, support religious leaders, pastors in your work.
As you were speaking about that, I had a memory of a pastor who was seasoned. I mean, I learned so much as a chaplain student from him, watching him come in with his congregants and praying with them. But one day there was a tragedy of one of his parishioners, one of his young high schoolers. And he came in and the young man did not survive. And the family, of course, was emotional. And he looked at me and he said, I need you today. I need you because I'm a part of the family. And he stepped back and held the hands of the family for me to pray. And it was that time that I realized how as a pastor, how connected, how engaged, how, and he said, I'm a part of the family. I need you to minister. And so, and we do this time and time again where the pastor comes in and needs our support. And yes, they offer prayer, they offer care as well, but they need us to pray for them and to come alongside them. And so that never left me because he had taught me for years. And then this happened to him and his church and his parishioner, and I was able to step in and offer that support.
And we are so grateful, and I have experienced that because we as pastors are so connected to our church family. When they hurt, we hurt. And not that the chaplain doesn't, but it's so nice to have that support, and we're thankful. So with that, how can we listeners support chaplains during this very challenging season? What can we do for you, Dr. Walker?
The first thing that we need is simply prayer. It seems like the go-to answer, but it is so important that as the names of other professionals, nurses and doctors are lifted up, that the chaplains are lifted up. And that, of course, for our safety, but also for our stamina and our perseverance and our discernment in this season. And, you know, God is in control of this. And so to really pray for us in so many ways, the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association has done other things. You wouldn't believe how it meant, how much it meant, even bringing lunches and having lunches sent to the chaplains throughout our system. They still, you know, talk about that, and we get cookies and things like that. It seems like a little thing. It's just a thought. Notes, we've got cards and from different pastors and from people in the congregations, and it just encouraging notes about the God's faithfulness in the midst of this crisis, and that they see us and that they know we're here. So that's meaningful to us very much so.
Well, it has been a joy to talk with you, Dr. Walker. Thank you for shedding light on your very important ministry, and I hope that we will all be more intentional about supporting you and the chaplains who work across Brookwood Baptist Health and beyond in whatever hospital setting that we find ourselves in. So thank you so much for your time today. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.